So if you were here last week, you will remember that I said there was a part two of this gospel reading that we had last week, and we just heard it. And another reading that was in the readings that I was looking at for today was from 1 Corinthians. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. These words from Paul and the letter to the Corinthians about love are some of the most well-known in Scripture. This passage is often read at weddings and at funerals. But the love that Paul is describing is not sentimental or romantic love. This love is not dependent upon a feeling, an emotion. Instead, Paul is describing the love that flows from God, the love that is God. There's nothing wrong with including this lesson in a marriage ceremony, but as one commentator suggested, it's more appropriate to a marriage counseling session. It is when relationships of any sort encounter difficulties that this passage is most helpful, because it is a reminder of the kind of love and behavior to which we are all called. The measure of love is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. This is the kind of love that we talk about when we stress the importance of relationships in the Anglican Communion, although we disagree widely within the Anglican Communion. This is the kind of love that has held the Episcopal Church together through much pain and disagreement over issues such as the ordination of women and the full inclusion of all God's people, regardless of their sexual identity. But it's exactly this kind of love that was missing from the folks gathered in Jesus' hometown when he began his ministry in the synagogue. As we heard last week, he began his ministry by reading the words of the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus announces his ministry and his identity to his hometown crowd. And at first they love him, but then very quickly, as we just heard, something shifts. In the space of 9 verses, the folks in Jesus' hometown move from amazement to rage. They move from praising him to throwing him out of the synagogue. In fact, they were so enraged that they tried to throw him off a cliff. How did that happen? Well, Jesus had told them 2 stories from their history, one about Elijah and one about Elisha. And these 2 stories have one thing in common. They are stories about God reaching out beyond their own community. They are stories about God's mercy and compassion going beyond the Jewish community into the neighboring communities. They are stories of God healing and saving other people. The folks in that gathering did not understand God's love, at least not that day. They could not accept that God could love others as much as them, that God had acted with compassion and mercy to people outside of their community. The truth, as Jesus spoke, was that his ministry was a fulfillment of the words of Isaiah. the truth was that Jesus was not going to stay in his hometown and give them the whole benefit of his ministry. The truth was that God had a much bigger plan. God was not just interested in Jesus's people. God's plan was to send love and blessing and mercy and compassion to all people. And that is still God's plan. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.